Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished social entrepreneur from Chennai, India, Mr. Anil Kumar SG. Anil, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's my privilege, Ashutosh, to be part of this show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking out time for this.
Thank you. And Anil is the founder and CEO of Samunnati, which is India's largest agri-tech enterprise. He has been awarded, recognized, and felicitated several times. So Anil, before we start talking about Samunnati, I want to really ask you, what made you move from a career banker to the social sector?
Well, it's an accident, I would say.
Okay.
I started my career pretty early in my life. You know, I actually started my career with Canara Bank when I was 18 and a half as an undergraduate by discontinuing my engineering. And hence, my career, professional life and academic life have gone together. So I did my graduation in humanities, then did my MBA from Symbiosis in International Marketing, both through distance mode. And then somewhere at the back of the mind, there was this complex that I have not gone to the college. So I wanted to go to the college. And I also thought, can I switch my career and get into academics?
Okay.
And with that idea, I took my GMAT and went to Manila, Asian Institute of Management, to do my master's. And then I realized two things. One, academic world is much more competitive than the corporate world. That was a realization. Second thing that I realized is the interesting space of financial inclusion or development finance, because one part of the module also had inspirational leadership module. And I got to read about Dr. Muhammad Yunus's life and how microfinance is changing the lives of so many people. And fortunately for me, at that point in time, ICICI Bank, which was my employer and had granted me sabbatical, was also doing a lot in microfinance. So I thought, having done so much in banking and rural banking, here is an opportunity where I can, you know, hone up my experience to do something.
Correct.
The road to ICICI Bank, expressing my interest, and that's how the movement from a liability banking to the asset side of the banking, and from corporate banking to the social sector happened, Ashutosh.
Amazing. So now let's move to Samunnati. Tell me a little bit about the kind of work you are doing, and why agri? I mean, there are so many other sectors.
Right. So Samunnati is a agri value chain enabler. We consider ourselves to be an ecosystem player, and it exists to make markets work for smallholder farmers. That's the reason why the organization exists. The belief is markets have been working off the farmer. Can we replace the off with for? By leveraging the power of aggregation, by bringing in the power of market linkages, and also the knowledge and advisory services. So we call this approach the AMLA approach, of engaging with the farmer collectives. So the vision is to make markets work for smallholder farmers. And the banker in me clearly, you know, taught that working capital is a key constraint, and a lot of value chains, including the agri value chains, are operating at a lower equilibrium, because whenever a seller sells something to a buyer, the buyer wants to pay later, because supplier's credit is one of the principal forms of working capital. But the seller wants money immediately. It is not unique to agriculture, but what it makes a little more acute in agriculture is seasonal and cyclical. So a lot of buying and selling happens within a small window. And we thought, can we pursue this vision of making markets work for smallholder farmers by making the value chains operate at a higher equilibrium? Which means we do everything that is possible with the players in the value chain, which also means we are bringing the value system of not disintermediating, but make the value chain operate at a higher equilibrium, increasing the throughput. But then all this is possible only if we keep the smallholder farmer at the center. And that is where the third dimension of Samunnati's model comes in, wherein we keep the farmer at the center. We work with the collectives of the farmers. And then we are building a digital wrapper around it, so that we become window to the world for the smallholder farmer and access to the last mile for the rest of the players in the agri ecosystem.
Fascinating.
The reason why Agri is in my 30 years of banking career, I have spent more than 25 years in rural and agri.
Nice.
So, you know, I have never been a farmer, but I have spent a lot of time with the farmers. And I keep on a lighter note saying that I might have been a cow or a buffalo in my previous life and go back to agriculture.
Well said, well said. So when you were telling me about Samunnati, you used a word which I'm assuming is an acronym, which you called as your approach. Tell me what that does that stand for.
This is AMLA approach. It is an acronym for aggregation, market linkage and advisory services.
I see. Okay.
And Indian gooseberry, AMLA,
I know,
is the complete fruit. Apparently, it has all the six tastes. And we want to bring in a complete proposition. And please observe that there is no finance in this. And the belief there again, Ashutosh, is finance is important but not sufficient. And it is an enabler for everything.
Well said.
Aggregation is when a set of farmers doing the same economic activity come together.
Mm.
And they are coming together by, because their requirements are homogeneous, whether they want to buy inputs or sell output. So the only way to leverage their power of aggregation is through market linkages. Market linkages, to happen, you need working capital, right? So it's the two sides of the same coin. And that is where finance plays a role. Post that is the knowledge on how to access better farming techniques, better markets, better avenues to realize higher, you know, higher incomes, all is advisory services. So that's how AMLA approach is.
Fascinating. So, you know, given the fact that you spent such a long time supporting such a large community of our country, which is farmers, what would you say are three key issues most farmers in India face?
Right. So there are two frames that we have understood over a period by spending the time in the hinterlands. One is at an individual level, we keep definitely looking at farmer as you know, as a fragmented smallholder farmer with ownership of land being small, and a significant reason for that, in our understanding, anecdotally, is the way we identify the farmer is through ownership. The one who has land is the farmer, is how we identify.
Correct.
Not the one who does farming. Right. And we also have farmers who take land on lease or tenant farmers who do farming, but are not identified under the cohort of farmers.
Okay.
So if I can put my finger on the three things: one, fragmented land holding, second, definition of farmer, and the third one is most of our engagement and schemes are designed for a farmer from the ownership perspective, but not from the activity perspective.
Wow, that's incredible.
And the reason why, not the reason, one of the reasons why the fragmented land holding is also a reality is, say if my father has 9 acres of land and we are 3 brothers, and I have 3 sons, for me to access any of the schemes, including, you know, the bank funding, I need to own the land. So my father will have to, you know, will have to divide the property into, you know, 3 acres for 3 brothers, including me. My 3 acres will get distributed to my 3 sons, you know, if that is how it is. So in 2 generations, 9 acre has become 1 acre.
Absolutely. Well said, well said. But, you know, you identified 3 very interesting areas, which are challenges. What would you say are ways to fix these 3 challenges? I mean, you know, not owning the land, and yet we know very large, you know, tracts of land are really tenanted farmers.
Correct. So this is where we believe and see the power of aggregation or power of collectivization. Actually, we are a huge believer that the FPO movement that we are seeing now and the cooperative movement of yesteryears has the potential or had the potential, if we can just talk about present tense. We believe that FPO as a concept and movement has the potential to unlock this, because the individual farmer does not have the capability to engage with a larger ecosystem. Let me explain this you know, a little bit. The individual, you know, farmer has to deal with a larger ecosystem. When we talk about fragmented land holding of the farmer,
mm.
the fact of the matter is the agri ecosystem being so large and huge is also fragmented. And the fragmentation is based on how the industry is engaging with the smallholder farmer. For example, there is input as one, you know, one segment. Output is the other segment. You know, financial services is the third segment, right? Agri-tech players who are providing product, services and technology is the, you know, other segment. Rural marketing agents, which also look at farmers, is the other segment. Advisory servicing entities, which include the KVKs and, you know, other entities which provide service for free of cost, is other segment. Now, you see, each of these is an ocean in itself. Again, you double-click on inputs, then you have seeds, crop protection chemicals and farm equipment.
Correct.
Double click on seeds, you go to organic, genetically modified, hybrid, open pollination, right? Now, if you go back to the subcategory of the subsector, each of them is interested in getting access to the farmer standalone basis. They don't want to do the rest of it. An input guy will say, hey, I want to engage with the farmer, but I have nothing to do with the output. The output guy would want to say, hey, I want to do the farm gate procurement, but I have nothing to do with the input. Financial services guys, including, you know, lenders would say, hey, I want to lend to the farmer, or I am required to lend to the farmer, but I don't want to do anything with the cultivation process. No input, no output, because I don't know what it is. Now, are we to rely on this smallholder farmer, which is 87% of this farming population that we have, owning less than 2 hectares of land, to engage with this fragmented ecosystem? Not right. That is why we see farmer perhaps is the only constituent who buys retail and sells wholesale. Because inputs for small requirements, they have to go to the retail most part of the input value chain, and they get compelled or they end up, that's a better expression, selling soon after harvest with hardly any value addition, right? So if we have to engage with the farmer, we have to be an ecosystem player. Someone needs to orchestrate all of this. Someone needs to be Zubin Mehta, so to say. So we require ecosystem players who put the farmer at the center and then look at, hey, can I harmonize this journey? Can we make all of you do what you are good at, but then in a way where we add value to the farmer?
Very interesting.
That's what Samunnati is attempting to do. We have covered some distance, but this has been like a peeling of an onion.
I can imagine. Actually, it's a huge, huge opportunity and a huge challenge as well. But, you know, Anil, moving on, I was talking to some people. They said that, you know, in India, there's a lot of technology being brought in for farming. And technology, when I mean, is not just bringing in harvesters and, you know, it is cutting edge technology being brought in.
Right.
I'd love to get your perspective on how is technology being brought in and how will it change the opportunities for the small marginal farmers?
One of the significant opportunities that we see are significant tailwinds that we are experiencing, Ashutosh, is indeed the agtech companies and the startups that are coming in this, you know, agriculture space in the last 3-4 years and looking at solving some of the niche problems, whether it is quality testing, whether it is monitoring capability using satellites, or whether it is providing advisory services, weather information, so on and so forth, which are a huge enablers to many of the mainstream players who find it difficult to engage with a smallholder farmer. Right? The nuance that all of us have to understand and realize is the farmer at the receiving end is usually not used to paying cash for these services unless there is a tangible benefit associated with using that service. And let me take the example of 2 AIs that we have. One is artificial intelligence. Second one is artificial insemination.
Okay.
Right? Both are AIs.
Absolutely.
But the farmer understands both from two different dimensions, different perspectives. In the first, artificial intelligence, what, you know, most of the offering is that I will tell you ABCDE, and by using it, your incomes are likely to go up by 15-20%. Just as an example. Or someone saying, hey, I can tell you today what is growing in your farm. Or what has grown in your farm. The farmer does not want to know, because he knows what is happening in his farm in any case. Or in our farm in any case.
Correct.
Right? Hence, paying some fee, whatever the quantum, whether small or big, in cash for a service where the benefit is not tangible, is a bit of a challenge at this point in time, which is where most of the startups and ag tech companies will have to realize, and they are understanding. The other AI, artificial insemination, thanks to, you know, Operation Flood and other initiatives that we have seen,
right,
artificial insemination has a direct correlation to incomes. Because you impregnate the cow, then you get the bachda, then you get milk, and then there is a cycle. And hence the entire wet and para-wet machinery where the, you know, the tika jo bolte hai, that if it is 150 rupees, 200 rupees, they are ready to pay because there is a positive correlation to their incomes.
Very interesting.
So one of the things that technology providers in agriculture may want to look at as, as a suggestion is, instead of looking at their offering on a standalone basis, can they come as a package? Can they come together with those services that are being offered along with a tangible benefit?
Yeah.
For example, I understand within artificial insemination, now there are gender-specific semen samples that are available where the offspring will be of a particular gender, and hence it is priced higher and people are indeed likely to pay. Now you see, it is the same thing. Technology, better outcome. You are still charging for it, but then there is a tangible benefit.
What a fascinating example. I mean, you know, there's such incredible learnings I'm getting from you today. Anil, now moving on, there is another perspective someone was giving me, that because we have such small land holdings, a lot of farmers still insist on producing rice, wheat, etc., which is difficult to grow, needs a lot of inputs and needs large land. What is preventing farmers to go to the high value products like fruits and other high value vegetables, etc.?
In my view, the fundamental reason being, it is easy to sell these things.
Okay.
Right. You produce rice, you know where to go and sell. You go to a mandi and sell, or you go to a local adati and sell. Right. You produce the local crop that most of the people are producing, because the logistics for most of these crops is well set, established. You are not taking undue risk. The moment you get into high value crops with the land holding that you have, two, three things may have to be done. One, you may have to first experiment on few things. Given the socioeconomic, you know, background of many of our, you know, farmers, they are vulnerable and they don't have the risk appetite to experiment, because the not so great outcome would be debilitating for them. Right? Second, logistics will have to develop for that. Three, advisory services will have to come in, and in all of this, somebody will have to provide a safety net for them. So if you put Maslow's hierarchy of need framework for a smallholder farmer, Ashutosh, we all know, physiological, then, basic and safety needs, then you have needs of love and belonging, then egocentric and self-actualization. That is, and each of the need builds on the previous one.
Absolutely.
From a farmer perspective, the first need is access to finance. That itself is a, a huge enabler for them. The moment they have that, then they would say, can you give me access to customized finance? A paddy growing farmer would need money for 3 months, and a sugarcane farmer would need money for a year. Right? Can we customize it? Give bullet repayment, bullet disbursement, rather than asking for equity installment, because there is no cash flow in between.
Correct.
Right? Transit disbursement. So can we provide customized finance? The moment you have that, the third order of need that they would ask is, hey, can you provide me access to better markets? Market linkages. Right? So that I would be able to provide my harvest to better markets. Once you provide market linkages is when the next order need comes, where the requirement would be, can you provide me advisory services of know-how and capability to access niche markets like exports or like organic or like, sustainable agriculture produce or traceability, all of that niche, but they need the advisory services for them. The last one, self-actualization, is safety net. If for any reason, any of these four steps fail, is there a safety net? And the safety net is not just for farmers. The safety net is required or a requirement for the players in the agri ecosystem, including the ones like Samunnathi, the actor in the agri ecosystem, which is the farmer, the activity in the agri ecosystem, which is farming, because farmer and farming are two sides of the same coin. Because they have to show up. If something happens to the farmer, farming cannot happen.
Yeah.
Farming fails, farmer cannot survive.
Mm.
The good news is there are players in each of these buckets.
Fascinating.
The attempts, just last 10 seconds, the attempts of many of our policymakers for right reasons has been to engage with this farming community from the bottom of the pyramid, access to finance. So nationalization of banks, agri-PSL requirements, cooperative banks, regional rural banks, microfinancing, all of that are from the dimension of we will provide access to finance and then let them climb the ladder. But the moment you take a market-led approach, you come from the top. So when you engage with a smallholder farmer, you have to take a market-led approach and own the outcome for the smallholder farmer, not outsource that to the farmer. You need to own that outcome for them.
You know, as you were talking, you know, I was going back down memory lane. I mean, you know, when I was with ITC for several years, I was part of the agribusiness division of ITC. And I've gone and spent time with in Guntur, where tobacco is grown, and where all the international business division, agribusiness, work with, you know, exports, et cetera, spend a lot of time with NABARD. As you've been talking, I've been wondering, not much has changed for the marginal farmer over the last 30, 40 years. I'd love to get your perspective on what tangible thing needs to be done to make a change so that the poor farmer actually gets some more money in his or her hand.
Well, I heard something very interesting in some other context as a saying, if you continue doing what you are doing, don't expect different results.
Okay.
We need to be contemporary.
Correct.
Now, as we see agriculture from a vantage point that we have today, notwithstanding the fact that we are largest producer and consumer of many of the agri commodities that we have, at this point in time in the country, the road network is fantastic. The quality of roads and connectivity is, you know, fantastic.
Absolutely.
The digital connectivity, the internet and other things is ubiquitous, right? The prevalence of smartphones is all over the place. The awareness about not only what we are eating, but where we are growing and who is growing is increasing. So rather than look at what we did and how to incrementally change what we did, can we take a fresh look and say, hey, forget about the vehicles that we have to take the, you know, the interventions to the farmers. Can we keep the farmer as the focus and be agnostic to the vehicle? What I mean by that is you have multiple vehicles which have been in the system and grown over a period to provide these services. NABARD is the apex organization. Then you have the Krishi Vigyan Kendras. You have the, you know, you have both governmental, non-governmental, quasi-governmental bodies doing fantastic job on the field. But in addition, there are also other players like, you know, rural fintech players who have come in, other financial institutions, the agtech players who have come in. Some of the NBFCs are looking at lending to the farmers. Can we go away from the traditional known vehicles to say, hey, whoever is interested to serve farmers are eligible for these schemes, are eligible to make an application for these schemes, rather than saying every scheme that you look at, either it is eligible for scheduled commercial banks, eligible for regional rural banks, but you don't find NBFCs anywhere, Ashutosh. Right reason, because there was no NBFC lending in agriculture in any case.
Correct.
Agree. But now can we look at, now that there are, you know, tools which are enabled by, you know, digitization and the infrastructure that has come into the, you know, rural ecosystem thanks to all the efforts of the policymakers and the government, can we now, you know, have a leap forward and open up the system? Then whoever serves, you are NBFC serving with 70-80% of the farmers, I will create a category called, you know, NBFC Agri. Now, as long as you are agri, where 75%, 80%, whatever is that, you know, number that you have is towards the segments that I want, you are eligible for all the benefits that are being given for entities that are lending for farmers.
Amazing. Amazing.
Or you are eligible for all subsidy schemes of the government, or you are eligible for all guarantee schemes that are available for the farmers, because the purpose of the schemes is to reach the farmer, no? Let us be vehicle agnostic.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Anil, on that note, and on that positive note, I think I want to say thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about Samunnati and the amazing work that you're doing. Thank you for explaining to me, and I didn't know, I didn't realize, but now that you said it, that a farmer in India buys retail and sells wholesale. I mean, it's a complete reversal of the way all of us function. Thank you for talking about the two AIs to me. I mean, again, something which I had never thought of, but when you spoke about it, artificial intelligence versus artificial insemination, suddenly it made a lot of sense. And thank you for talking to me at such length about how positive growth in infrastructure can potentially really go and change the lives of the marginal and the small farmers. Thank you for all the work that you're doing in Samunnati, and good luck to you.
No, my privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. Indeed, Ashutosh.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.